I'm a native of North Carolina. I was born in the town of Clayton, North Carolina, which is very close to Raleigh, the capital city. And I went to school, elementary and high school, in the town of Clayton, in a very small school, 24 in my graduating class. And I'd always been interested in airplanes and became an aeronautical engineer. And when I graduated from college, I went to work for the Air Force as a civilian in flight test. And I did that for about 3 years. And then, this was 1956, 59. That was about time the space program got started. So I left the Air Force and went down to Langley originally just to see if I could get a job in flight research at the Langley Research Center. But they didn't have any slots, so they asked me to go over to talk to the what they called the space people. And I didn't think like I knew anything about anything if it didn't have wings on it. But I went over, and the first person I ran into over there was Gus Grissom, who was one of the original seven astronauts. And Gus and I had flown together in the Air Force. So Gus kind of talked me into coming to work for NASA, which was less than a year old at that point. They sent me down to the Cape on temporary duty in September of 1959, and I never did make it back. Stayed down on a permanent basis. And this was to come down to really start Project Mercury here at the Cape. When I came down, NASA had a little office down at Patrick, and you checked in down there, and then quite a bit of rigmarole, it seemed to me, to get into the Cape area. And NASA only had a part of Hangar S. One hangar on the Cape was all of the facilities that NASA had at that point. We had the motor pool consisted of one 1946 ton and a half truck. That was the entire motor pool. So, and we started moving around, and G. Merritt Preston, who was my boss at that time, says, gee, we got to have some station wagons. And I told him I had a Hertz rent-a-card, credit card. So he says, good, go get some station wagons. So I had three or four station wagons checked out on my Hertz card. I felt the GAO folks would come get me any time, but they never did. So that was how we started our motor pool, was just with rental cars. We had to get all of the, not only were we worried about how to check out the spacecraft, but we had to get all the facilities and all the ground support equipment in place to start the project. And in the meantime, they were trying to launch some of the test vehicles. They had one shot called a Big Joe, which occurred just about the time I got here. And then we worked on mission called MA-1, Mercury Atlas 1, which was a production spacecraft chassis, but none of the electronics were production. And we launched that. We worked for a long time, seemed like, trying to get it ready, and we launched that, and it lasted 51 seconds, and the rocket blew up. So, and it was raining terribly, just terrible weather when we launched it. But it was a very busy time. We would be launching like three a day. The U.S. would be launching like three rockets a day frequently, which is quite a change from now, when they say they need 48 hours just between each launch. And they didn't have anywhere near the computers then that we have now. That was a very interesting time to see the different vehicles that were going. There was a very active Atlas program. The Titan program was active. The Thor intermediate range program was active. Polaris was active. The work was pretty tense. You were pumped up quite a bit. We knew we couldn't make a mistake. There was no books to go by. Our generation certainly had a unique opportunity in that there wasn't anybody around to tell us how to do it. We had to write the book as we went along. And today, the young engineers that are coming along, they've got old guys like me to tell them, well, you can't do this or you can do that. And I don't think they have the same opportunity we did. We knew we could make mistakes, but we couldn't make the same mistake twice.